Happy Saturday, Nashville, and welcome into the Michelle Knezevic Show. I'm Michelle Knezevic, joined with Junie Riddle, who will now be my full-time co-host. We've got Jared Cassidy behind the board, and the Michelle Knezevic Show is presented by the Nashville Jam Company in Berry Hill, Nashville's premier breakfast and brunch spot, and Superbook Sports voted the number one sportsbook in Vegas. So download their app today. Guys, happy Saturday. Happy college football day. We're going to talk college football today. We're going to talk a big divisional matchup tomorrow in Indianapolis, the Tennessee Titans versus the Indianapolis Colts. We've got a lot to dive into this morning. We are going to let Jared take his victory lap because Tennessee beat Florida last weekend. Got a little sticky towards the end, but you got the win. So Jared is feeling great this morning. If you want to weigh in on the conversation, text us, call us, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You guys know how we like to start every morning. We're going to get into headlines, then we're going to really dive into the Tennessee Titans versus the Indianapolis Colts. Then we've got Dave Griffiths from CBS 4 in Indianapolis, Fox 59. He's going to help us give a perspective on the Indianapolis front, and we're gonna have a good day, guys, talking football. Junie, how we doing?
I'm doing super good. We got a big slate of college football. I saw this yesterday. It says tomorrow, which again, I read this yesterday, has the most ranked games in a regular season since 2017. There is a lot of top 25 matchups today, including somebody's alma mater, Kentucky Wildcats, going on the road to Ole Miss. We may or may not be talking about that game a little bit later, but
we will definitely be making a pick on that game later.
But no, a lot of good stuff to talk about, and then Titans Colts. I mean, this is the rivalry that everybody wants to talk about, especially this weekend here in Tennessee with the Vols being off. So a lot to look forward to today in today's show.
Yes, the Vols are off this week, and also Vanderbilt is off this week. Jared, how are we doing today?
Doing great. How about y'all?
Listen, I know Junie touched on it a little bit earlier, but I am just so unwell this morning with the Kentucky game. Like you said, a lot of ranked matchups today in college football. We'll be making our picks in the final segment like we do every single day. But you guys know how we like to start every morning. And the morning brew segment is now served up by the Nashville Jam Company in Berry Hill, Nashville's premier breakfast and brunch spot. Quick story about the Nashville Jam Company, because they have just joined on as the presenting sponsor. And quick little story before we get into our morning brew. And I was actually telling Ryan, our friend Ryan, this morning, Junie, and Nashville Jam Company, you work there, right? Special to you. And kind of a full circle moment this morning on my way to work. About a year and a half ago, when I lived in Nashville, before I had the job here at 102.5 The Game, my dad was in town, my brother was in town. Before they left for the airport, we went to Nashville Jam Company. And then they went to the airport, and I actually came here for my interview for this job. So full circle moment. Now they're the sponsor of this show. So just love that, right?
No, absolutely. The Nashville Jam Company, I mean, there's some good people over there. Gary, the owner, has done a lot for me personally. I mean, they got all natural ingredients. The jam they make, they make it themselves in-house. I mean, it's some good stuff over there, good prices. Can't say enough about how awesome Nashville Jam Company is. Y'all need to go out there and check it out for some awesome brunch in this city.
Well, and they are serving up our morning brew, so let's get into it. Morning brew, if you've never listened to the show before, we like to do the headlines around Nashville, the headlines around the national sports world. College football, football, hockey, now that the Preds are back in action. And actually looks like the Nashville Predators have landed in Switzerland, so they will begin their season. Those will be counted as home games this year. So got to see a little action in training camp, some coverage. Quick shout out to Max Herz of our station. He is going to be hosting the pre- and post-game shows for the Nashville Predators, and we are just rolling into full-force sports season. But first, what I would like to talk about is a national story that happened. And this made me pretty upset and pretty worked up about, and really got the entire sports community worked up about it. But it was the injury last Sunday that happened to Tua Tagovailoa. So it was Bills Dolphins, and I remember sitting in the Tennessee Titans press box. I was sitting next to Derek Mason, Jonathan Hutton, and right, we are watching the Titans game, and then you're on Twitter, right, you're following all the other NFL games as well, and then this video surfaces of Tua, you know, getting hit and then getting up and being very out of it, stumbling over his own feet, and then we thought, oh, wow, there's no way he can go back in for the second half, but report said that he was cleared by the concussion protocol. Went back in for the second half, played the second half, and then the Miami Dolphins on a short week, Thursday Night Football in Cincinnati, goes in, gets a terrible hit. We see Tua on the ground, his arms tense up, he has to be carried off by a stretcher, and it just brings, it humanizes the game for a second, because we love football. We watch it every Saturday and Sunday, Thursday, Monday, right? Tuesday and Wednesday suck because there's no football on. And we glorify this sport and we love it. But then it really brings you down to reality for a second when you see something like that and you think, wow. And knowing what happened to Tua on Sunday and then another hit, you can't say that those two aren't correlated somehow.
Oh, they definitely are. I mean, without a shadow of a doubt, those two things are correlated. I mean, the hit that he took against Cincinnati was nowhere near, you know, the head trauma that he probably received in that initial hit against the Buffalo Bills. But since that preliminary hit already happened 4 days prior to this, that's what set it up to be much worse. Because, I mean, I think if he just landed like that, like he did in the Cincinnati game, I don't think that he would have been carted off like that. Maybe he would have, you know, exited out and went into concussion protocol. But I didn't think that that was serious enough. It was because of the Bills hit and how that affected him was the reason why it became such a serious thing. And the fact that the Miami Dolphins didn't do their due diligence, I'll tell you what, this has been a bad year for the Miami Dolphins off the field. I understand that they started off to a hot start, started 3-0, obviously lost two and lost that game on Thursday night. But, I mean, when you look at all the tampering that they've had going on, all the acquisitions from Brian Flores, I mean, Brian Flores kind of warned us about the Miami Dolphins this preseason, about what they want to do and how desperate they are to win. But it seems like they're so desperate to win that they're willing to put their franchise quarterback's health and career on the line with something like this, because this stuff is no joke.
Well, and I actually did a project on CTE and concussions my senior year of college. And with all of the information out there and, I mean, even the aftermath of football players, we've seen with traumatic brain injuries like this and what multiple concussions can do. And the point I brought up on Robbie and Rex Road on Friday was, you know, your brain is so interesting because, and there's this mentality surrounding football of be tough, push through it, like you're injured, but it's okay, push through it, all this stuff. But when you break a finger or when you break a leg or an arm or you're bruised up or something like that, those are all injuries you can see. Mm-hmm. When it's your brain, you can't see that. So I might be looking at you thinking, okay, you're fine. You look fine. You're good. Go. You got it. You got it. And if you're telling me you're fine, it's really hard. And when the NFL goes and does these concussion protocols and goes through these tests, they weigh in the player's opinion. And I think one thing that could be good moving forward is that, you know, you take the doctor's opinion, right? But if the player's like, I'm fine, you know, they're trained to think that they can just go back in there and that they're fine. But sometimes they're their own worst enemy because they want to play. And Andrew Whitworth on the Thursday night broadcast even said that one time he got hit really, really bad when he was in the NFL. And one of his teammates had to grab him and pull him out and be like, you are not playing. Because sometimes you think, you know, I'm fine. And you have this toughness mentality of get me out there. I can't let my team down. I can't let everybody watching this game down. But at the end of the day, yes, we love football. Yes, this is about football. But it comes down to quality life for these guys, too. You're thinking, oh, well, what if they can never play football again? Well, what if you could never walk again if it got so severe? Or what if you could, you know, have severe trauma for the rest of your life? So just a really, really scary situation surrounding the whole Tua and the Dolphins and the NFL, and there's an investigation going on. there was one going on before this Thursday night game even happened regarding the Bills game and that hit and him going back out there. So I know we're going to be seeing a lot more of that just surrounding the NFL, surrounding the sports world, and all on social media too here. Switching over to the Tennessee Titans, you know, a couple other headlines this week. Obviously, the Titans and the Colts are going to be a huge divisional matchup. For the Tennessee Titans, this is their first divisional game. So we know what happened with the Colts. They had their first game versus the Texans, and they got that tie on the list. So we're going to be having to say 1-2-1, and we're going to be having to remember that for the rest of the year. But Tron Davenport put the injury report out yesterday for the Tennessee Titans, and some significant guys who are out, Zach Cunningham and Amani Hooker. Zach Cunningham, elbow, did not practice Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. Same with Amani Hooker, did not practice Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, concussion. And then there were some other guys who limited participation, full participation, limited, which I don't spend too much focus on just because sometimes Vrabel will give them off days in the middle of the week, especially if they're older guys. But two guys that really, really stuck out to me, Amani Hooker and Zach Cunningham.
Those are two huge losses. You could argue that Amani Hooker, I know Kevin Byard got the interception last week, and that's fresh on people's mind, but like I said, you could argue that Amani Hooker has been the best member of this Titans secondary this season thus far. He's been a playmaker all across the field. And then I know Zach Cunningham has not been playing up to his normal standards this season, but he still is your number one run-defending linebacker. And with the amount of injuries that they have right now, with Monty Rice being out, Chance Campbell being on IR, is Dylan Cole going to be the answer? I personally don't think so. And when you're going up against Indianapolis in the Colts Stadium in Lucas Oil, I don't like this matchup when you have Jonathan Taylor waiting to you know spring some big runs on this defense without some key members being in there.
It's a little scary, isn't it?
No, I think it definitely is. I think that's a huge caution for concern, that interior linebacker position and trying to guard this run game of the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, and I mean, they're already thin, too. So, I mean, like, now you're just throwing that on top of it, and we've already had problems with the secondary since last year. So now it's just like they just keep piling it on, and it's like somewhere it's got to break or we're going to have to do something.
And we saw last year the Tennessee Titans overcome a lot of injuries and signing guys and having them play that week, and they were able to overcome it, right, and get the number one seed. But we're seeing more significant guys, starting with Harold Landry before the season even started. Another guy I want to mention who has also been ruled out for this Sunday is Ugo Amadi. He's in the secondary as well and has definitely played some significant snaps for the Tennessee Titans. But Mike Vrabel is looking to get his fourth win in Indianapolis this Sunday. Can the Titans do it? Junie and I will give you the keys of the game for the Titans versus Colts this Sunday. You're listening to the Michelle Knezevic Show on 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. Welcome back into the Michelle Knezevic Show. I'm Michelle Knezevic, joined with Junie Riddle, Jared Cassidy. If you're watching us on our stream, we are streaming on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook every single day, presented by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. And everybody, join me today at the Lucky Duck Lounge in East Nashville at 2512 Gallatin Avenue for the SEC Game of the Week presented by BettingHero.com. They're going to help you enjoy your experience betting on mobile. And hey, they might even buy you a beer. And the fun starts at 2:30 today. And listen, the Game of the Week is Arkansas-Alabama. I know the spread is pretty big, but I think Arkansas is definitely going to make it a game. And they're going to have drink specials. We're going to be out there for the entire game, getting there a little bit before 2:30. Gonna have a lot of fun, and my level of excitement or stressness will be over because the Kentucky game will be over by then. So we'll be able to have some fun, watch some Arkansas Alabama, and we won't have to worry about me going crazy if my team doesn't win. We'll already know the answer to that. Welcome back in. Happy Saturday. We're talking a little Tennessee Titans, Indianapolis Colts as they head up there tomorrow. It's a noon kickoff, first divisional matchup for the Tennessee Titans, and it's the biggest one. I mean, this division has been these two teams back and forth. I know we're seeing the Jacksonville Jaguars really emerge this year, but still early in the season, and the front runners traditionally are the Tennessee Titans and the Indianapolis Colts. And Indy's had that revolving door at quarterback for the last couple of years. Now they've got Matt Ryan. The first game, they tie with the Houston Texans, and everybody was like counting the Colts out. And they have a big win last week over the Kansas City Chiefs, and now the Tennessee Titans are heading up to Indy for a huge divisional matchup. The way I look at this game is I view the teams pretty similarly. They're very much a run-based offense, both teams, right? They've got gritty defenses. But I give a slight edge to the Tennessee Titans because of their coach and their quarterback. I think that Ryan Tannehill so far has had a very efficient year, and he has been the last worry in Nashville here, which is almost ironic considering the up in flames people were about he shouldn't be the starting quarterback after last season, and now has been very, very efficient in 2022 so far. And I look at Mike Vrabel, and I know that all these injuries on this roster are detrimental because so many of them are at such significant places and they're already thin at those positions. And I specifically look at the defense. I look at the pass rush and I look at the secondary. We already mentioned earlier Ugo Amadi and Imani Hooker in that secondary, both not going to be in. We've also got Zach Cunningham, who's ruled out for the game. And when you're already thin at those positions on defense, where the Tennessee Titans are supposed to dominate, and we saw that defense last year, and it's slowly dwindling, it's going to be pretty concerning heading into Indianapolis.
I think it's really concerning. And the focal point that I looked at in this matchup was how these two defenses played against the run. So I'm going to go into the first three games. And again, this is early in the season. These two teams can change this narrative. But the Colts versus the Texans, they only allowed 77 rushing yards. Colts versus Jaguars, which they lost 24-0, allowed 96 rushing yards. Colts versus Chiefs, they allowed 58 rushing yards. In total, that was 2.7 yards a carry, 2.6 yards a carry, and 2.5. Now let's look at the Titans. Titans versus Giants, they allowed 238 rushing yards, an average of 7.4 yards a carry. Against the Bills, who is not a running team whatsoever outside of Josh Allen, they make it known that they are not a running team. Still allowed over 100 yards rushing at 101 with 4.2 yards a carry. And then against the Raiders, who the Raiders were openly shopping Josh Jacobs this preseason, they allowed 96 rushing yards. So finally kept a team under 100. But yet the Raiders only ran the ball 19 times and had 5.1 yards per carry. The bottom line is both of these offenses like to run the ball. And the Titans' defense looks horrible against the run thus far this season.
Which is crazy because going into the season, we were talking about, could the Tennessee Titans be the best run defense team?
And a lot of things have changed with that. I mean, you lose Harold Landry. I mean, part of losing a pass rusher is it'll affect you in other places because teams don't respect your pass rush nearly as much. Bud Dupree being, you know, in and out of the lineup, Ola Adeniyi being in and out of the lineup, and now Zach Cunningham, the guy that's supposed to be your number one run stopper at that second level in the interior of that linebacking core, it's gonna cause a lot of trouble for this team. The thing that the Titans have going for them is that both Shaq Leonard and DeForest Buckner are questionable to play. Now, I think Shaq Leonard is definitely going to play.
I do, too.
But DeForest Buckner is really up in the air, and I think that is a huge X factor with him being on that defensive front on the D-line. If he's playing, it could be a long day for this Titans offense.
Well, and let's also remember, too, that this would be Shaq Leonard's first game back this season. And we all know about the Colts-Titans rivalry, right? These in-division rivals, they're intense. They're tough. They see each other every single year. And he's fired up. If he's coming back today, and I'm definitely going to ask Dave Griffiths, who's joining us next segment from CBS4 in Indy, Fox 59 in Indy. He's going to be from Indianapolis, covers the Colts. Flat out, do you think they are going to play tomorrow? Because that will be such a huge factor. And for the Tennessee Titans defense, I'm going to need to see a huge game from Jeffrey Simmons and Bud Dupree and Rashad Weaver. The pass rush is going to need to be on point because I don't feel confident in this secondary with so many guys out. And you can tell that the Tennessee Titans do not feel confident in Caleb Farley, considering they signed Terrence Mitchell last week on a Wednesday. Then he started in the Raiders game, whereas you have had Caleb Farley on your team for years now practicing. He's healthy this season, and he only gets in for one snap when Christian Fulton went down with a cramp.
And another matchup that we have in this game is going to be Stephon Gilmore and Kenny Moore going up against some of these Titans receivers, which have not been playing the best. I mean, you've seen Stephon Gilmore, you know, tip the ball up to get the game-winning interception last week against the Chiefs. I think they are getting better and better as the season rolls on. You know, it's gonna be tough sledding for the Titans on Sunday. I really do think so. This Indianapolis Colts team, I think, plays a little bit different when they are at home. They had to start the season on the road. Two games on the road in the division is no way I would want any team. I don't care if you're a Super Bowl favorite or not. That's a rough draw. So finally, you get your first home game against a huge competitor in the Kansas City Chiefs, and they get a huge win. So what does that do for the Colts and their confidence going up against the Tennessee Titans, who have had their number the last couple of years? Their owner, Jim Irsay, has been begging the fans.
Fired up.
Is like, yo, you all have got to get in here, and you have got to get loud. This is a huge game for us. And to begin the season, he was saying, we have got to beat Tennessee. So this is in the minds of Frank Reich. This is in the minds of the Colts players and the Colts fans showing up to try and will their team to a victory on Sunday.
And a big concern surrounding the Tennessee Titans fan base has been the play calling and the predictability. Todd Downing was asked at a press conference this week by Teron Davenport if he pays any attention to what fans are saying and coming for his job.
He owes it to the guys in the building to make sure that he continues to come out and do what he has to do, which is lead that offense. So it was a very good answer. And surprisingly, you know, a lot of the people who, you know, lean so much on the negative side of things actually respected the answer as well. And I think that tells you all you need to know about the quality of it.
So that was Teron Davenport kind of explaining Todd Downing and his answer at the podium. But basically, Todd Downing was asked by Teron, hey, you know, are you listening to any of this outside noise of essentially every week on Twitter, people calling his play calls predictable, wanting to fire him, saying that the offense needs to be better and things like that. And Todd Downing stood up and said, you know what? I can't pay attention to any of that. What I pay attention to is calling the plays and what Mike Vrabel wants. And if Mike Vrabel feels confident in me, I got to just do my job. I got to put my nose down and do my job. And I actually thought that answer from Todd Downing, who he's not a guy who will really like kind of dive into that, but he stood up and he just said, you know what? I'm doing my job. Mike Vrabel likes what I'm doing. I think that that was a bad play call in the Giants game. Which I think it was the tight end sweep. And he acknowledged it and moving forward. And yes, he still needs to prove himself. And I do think it is a proving year for Todd Downing. And now seeing a divisional rival this weekend, it's going to be imperative to not be predictable when you're play calling.
I agree, but I think that the whole blaming the offensive coordinator is kind of an overrated thing to do. They're just trying to scapegoat somebody, and naturally it's going to be him because he's new to this. But what people don't understand is that when Arthur Smith was here, you know, Derrick Henry was more in his prime. They had A.J. Brown. They had other weapons, and that's why they posed one of the top offenses in the league. I mean, ever since then, starting last year, this offensive line, their play has significantly decreased from what it was in 2019 and 2020. And then you lose guys like Roger Saffold and then now Taylor Lewan. I mean, I told you this in the summertime. I was like, their biggest concern is going to be this offensive line. When Derrick Henry is constantly getting hit in the backfield and then Ryan Tannehill doesn't have enough time with the pass protection to get it to the receivers downfield, it's going to cause a ruckus with everything in the rhythm in this offense. So it can be a personnel thing, and I think more fans need to look at that than just blaming the OC.
Up next, we will be heading to Indianapolis. We will be joined with Dave Griffiths from Fox 59 CBS 4 in Indianapolis. You're listening to the Michelle Knezovic Show on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app. Welcome back into the Michelle Knezovic Show. I'm Michelle Knezovic, joined with Junie Riddle, Jared Cassidy. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studios. If you want to weigh in on the conversation, 615-737-1025. And we're streaming on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, presented by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We go to our phone line right now and welcome in Dave Griffiths from Indianapolis, CBS 4 Indy, and Fox 59. Dave, long time no talk. How are you?
I'm doing well, Michelle. It is my pleasure to join you and I guess the other folks here on the line this morning.
Dave, a little background. I was actually with Dave in Indy. That was full-blown COVID mode in 2020. Now I've jumped ship to Nashville, and we are talking about a divisional matchup, Dave. Isn't this awesome?
It's great. I still don't know what you look like from the nose down, but yes, nevertheless, I can only imagine, and here we are talking about the NFL.
Well, I guess, Dave, first, the biggest question here in Nashville from Titans fans is, do you think that Shaq Leonard and DeForest Buckner will be on the field this Sunday in Indy?
That is, they're both great questions. Shaquille, I am leaning more toward yes than I was earlier in the week, that's for sure. He's been a full go in practice for last week and for most of the week before and still didn't play. So at this point this week, you're thinking, well, maybe they're just holding off. Next week for the Colts is a Thursday night game. So do you want to have him play two games in 5 days for his first action since back surgery in the offseason? I don't know if you want to do that. So I was leaning at the beginning of the week toward no, but now that he's questionable on Friday, it's certainly at least made it a little bit more of a question in my mind. So I'd put Shaq right now at 50-50. With Buckner, I would say there's much more likely a chance that he does play. He spoke with us in the locker room this week and seemed all right. He has worked some with the trainers when we've been out there at practice, even though he's been officially did not participate on all the injury reports. So if I'm talking Buckner, I'd say 75% chance he plays. Leonard, probably a 50% chance.
Okay, so let's say they both do end up playing on Sunday in Indianapolis. How much of an upgrade is that defense with both of those guys on the field for you all?
It's huge. Absolutely monstrous, both of them. Buckner was a mammoth part of their win last week over the Chiefs. He didn't show as much in the stat sheet, but if you're looking at it from the press box, you could tell his impact on this game. Both him and Grover Stewart, the other defensive tackle, were game wreckers for the middle of that Kansas City offensive line. So Buckner also missed a game against the Titans a couple years ago in that COVID year, and Tennessee ran roughshod over them in that game. I believe that's the only game Buckner has missed here in Indy since arriving with the Colts. And Leonard, his impact goes without saying. I mean, last year he was part of 14 or 15 takeaways just by himself, whether it's interceptions, forced fumbles, or fumble recoveries. He is a takeaway machine and was very much the impetus that led the Colts to be the team that was second in the NFL in terms of turnovers generated. So they have not generated too many turnovers this year. It has been kind of a glaring weakness for them so far, that it's been something they've been really good at in the past. They haven't been good at this year, and really it's because Leonard hasn't suited up yet. It's amazing that one guy can have that much of an impact, but he certainly has. He's proven it, and the Colts have sorely missed him when it comes to the takeaway department on defense.
Dave, we've heard a lot from Jim Irsay, whether it's been this week or prior to the season, about the urgency to beat the Tennessee Titans. Do you think this adds a lot of pressure for GM Chris Ballard, head coach Frank Reich, and the rest of the team?
There's no doubt that Jim Irsay is irked by the recent Titans success. And this past offseason, every other word out of his mouth was Titans, and the other word was Wentz, because he wanted us to know how much he was disappointed in Carson Wentz last year. So those are the two takeaways from Jim Irsay. If you heard nothing else, it was Carson Wentz wasn't good enough. It was we weren't good enough against the Titans. And for the Colts to get back to where they were in the glory days of Peyton Manning, the Titans are standing in their way right now after winning the division 2 years in a row. They've seemed to be a stable franchise. And although I certainly wouldn't compare them to what the Colts were, and I don't think any of you would either, Jim Irsay recognizes who's in their way right now. And he has these lofty goals, Jim does always, about returning to another golden era of Colts football. And from my perspective, you can dream heavy, and that's fine. But to truly expect it and think it's a possibility is very, very much a pipe dream to get someone like a Peyton Manning again and run over the AFC South like the Colts did for a decade or so. So do I think it puts more pressure on Frank Reich and Chris Ballard? I don't think so, because that's who Jim Irsay is. He shoots for the moon, and if he misses, he hopes to end up among the stars. So that's just kind of the bluster and the confidence and talking about winning multiple Lombardis under every quarterback that's been here over the past 6 years. No, to answer your question, no, but at the same time, it's still just something that every person, every coach or GM who's ever going to be with the Colts under Jim Irsay is going to have to live with, an owner that's not afraid to talk about high expectations. And so I think they're pretty used to that.
So you bring up Carson Wentz, and Carson Wentz has kind of been the scapegoat for the 2021 Indianapolis Colts and the reason that they didn't make it to the playoffs, obviously, with that Week 18 matchup against the Jaguars. But let's talk a little bit about Matt Ryan. You know, Matt Ryan, highly anticipated pickup in a trade this offseason, but only starts the season with 3 touchdowns and 4 picks. What are the expectations for him going forward, and does it look like he's kind of turning the corner after a nice win against the Kansas City Chiefs at home?
Well, the expectation is first to take care of the football better. 4 interceptions through 3 games is too many. And more than that, he's had 7 fumbles through 3 games as well. We asked him about it this week, and he seemed kind of as perplexed as we have. He hasn't had this type of ball security problem in the past. But fortunately for him and for the Colts, they've only lost, I believe, 2 of those 7 fumbles. But still, 7 fumbles in three games is very much well on pace for the NFL record, which would be a dubious record to hold. He certainly had a great drive at the end of last week's game against Kansas City, and you hope to build on that. But if you look at the game as a whole, I wouldn't say that he necessarily took a step forward. Matt Ryan has done with the Colts really a couple things that you'd expect from him. He's really led 1 game-winning drive against Kansas City. He led what should have been another against the Texans in Week 1, if not for a missed 42-yard field goal by Rodrigo Blankenship, who's no longer with the team. So he still owns that Matty Ice moniker. If you're close in the fourth quarter, he's going to give you a chance to win. But at the same time, this is not the Matt Ryan that won an MVP 6 years ago for the Falcons. The past 5 years, there's been a noticeable dip in his production, and it's more of that. It's a quarterback that it's not going to be like a Patrick Mahomes or a Justin Herbert or a Joe Burrow or a Aaron Rodgers by any stretch. He's not that guy. You're not expecting 300 yards and 3 touchdowns from him. If he can go 230 yards and 1 touchdown and no interceptions, and sometimes 2 touchdowns and no interceptions, that's what you want, because this team is built very much like your Titans around a running back and a offensive line that is the starting unit, the richest in football right now this year. So the hope is for Jonathan Taylor to carry the load and Matt Ryan not to make mistakes, but he's made too many mistakes early on this year. That's the one thing that needs to get cleaned up if the Colts want to get where they want to go in terms of what Matt Ryan's contribution is going to be.
We've got Dave Griffiths on with us from CBS4 in Indy, Fox 59. So, Dave, ever since the Indianapolis Colts lost Andrew Luck to retirement, it's kind of been a revolving door at the quarterback position. Do you think that Matt Ryan is the answer for the next couple years, or do you think that it's time for the Indianapolis Colts to look into the NFL draft and really try to draft a quarterback and start developing him to be a solid answer at that quarterback position?
Yeah, this is my opinion on the matter. I'm not going to tell you exactly what the Colts are thinking, so because I don't know, to be frank. But my opinion is that they need to go in this coming draft and get a quarterback. Mm-hmm. Matt Ryan can still stay here and can still play next year, which he is under contract to do. But you can go out and get that quarterback, have him sit for a year, and then be your starter in 2024 after learning under Matt Ryan. It would be very much in the mold that the Chiefs did with Patrick Mahomes when they had Alex Smith. They drafted Mahomes like 15th overall, wherever he was, between 10 and 15. Maybe it was between 8 and 15. I don't know if he dropped quite that far. Sorry. But go get your guy. The Colts are going to have a first-round pick. Mm-hmm. They have their second-round pick. They have what will likely be another second-round pick from the Commanders in the Carson Wentz trade. Right now it's a third, but it'll upgrade to a second, depending on playing time. So you can package some picks. You can move up in the first round to get your guy if you want. And this year's quarterback class does seem to be quite a bit better than last year's, for sure. Mm-hmm. When you look at the Kentucky quarterback, Levis, you look at Bryce Young's going to come out, you look at C.J. Stroud. There's a lot of guys that are intriguing, and that's just the very tip top of the class. But there are a couple others that are sprinkled in that could be first-round picks as well, depending on how the rest of the season goes. So I believe that the time is now to go out and get someone to be your starter. If you wait another year, and this is what the Colts have done. The Colts have continued to kick the can down the road when it comes to the quarterback scenario. I thought that they had the answer with Carson Wentz. I'm very much the outlier here in the Indianapolis media who thinks that they moved on from him way too soon. Mm-hmm. I think that there was room to grow with him, and there was certainly room to grow. There were a lot of things that needed to improve, mm-hmm. but there were a lot of things that were positives that they didn't have before that they had in Carson Wentz. So anyway, they didn't. They decided not to, but it's been a revolving door 6 years in a row with a new mm-hmm. starting quarterback week one. That is not a recipe for success in the NFL. You need to build over time. You see young quarterbacks right now get with coaching staffs, and in the second year, they take off. Well, the Colts haven't given anybody a chance in the second year to take off, and there's been somewhat of their fault with letting Carson Wentz go. It's been somewhat of just circumstances with, like, Phillip Rivers retiring after 1 year. So you need some stability. You need to bring in a guy who has been here. So next year would be a perfect opportunity to move up in the first round, get your guy, let him sit under Matt Ryan for a year, and then take the reins as a sophomore in the NFL in 2024.
And lastly for you, Dave, how about our Syracuse Orange football team?
How about those Orange? I love it. Taking on Wagner this weekend. I didn't think that 5-0 was coming, but boy, there's some tough matchups ahead after that, including my wife is a Florida State grad for her grad school, at least. So, yes, that is a fierce battle here at home those weeks when she puts the kids in Florida State gear. I immediately change them to Syracuse gear. I put a Syracuse scarf on the dog. She changed it to a Seminole. So, yes, I'm already eyeing that one. I think that's coming up in November. We got a little bit of time yet, but, yes, the Orange have given us something to cheer about on Saturdays in college football season again. First time since the Eric Dungy era where that has been the case. Yeah, during my years there, I was back there in the early 2000s. It was some of the leanest years that Syracuse football has had. So I'm grateful to see them having a little bit of success and having something to cheer for sure.
Well, the Florida State, they got a tough matchup against Wake Forest today. Hopefully mm-hmm. all goes in your wife's favor. But, Dave, thank you so much for joining us today and giving us a little insight on Indianapolis. And great to talk to you. Enjoy the game tomorrow.
You too, Michelle. You take care.
That was Dave Griffiths from CBS 4, Fox 59 in Indianapolis, previewing the Colts-Tennessee Titans game coming up tomorrow at noon. Junie and I will give you our takeaways from the interview and give you some more keys to the game on the other side. You're listening to the Michelle Knezevic Show on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app. Play silly underdog picks today. Pick three football underdog teams that you will think will win this week for a chance to win a great prize. Play now at thegamenashville.com or 1025 The Game app. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Superbook Sports voted the number one sports book in Vegas. Download their app today. We will be using Superbook Sports as our lines when we are making our picks and hopefully making you guys some money. Welcome back into the Michelle Knezevic Show. I'm Michelle Knezevic, Junie Riddle, Jared Cassidy. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio this morning. We just had Dave Griffiths on with us from Indianapolis, covers the Indianapolis Colts, and we're going to give you two quick takeaways from that interview and things we think that Tennessee Titans fans should look out for heading into the game tomorrow. And then we are going to make our picks for the show today, one of my favorite parts. And, hey, maybe we might even be picking some underdogs, so you'll have to take our advice and join that contest. But my first takeaway from Dave was that, you know, the probability of Shaq Leonard and DeForest Buckner playing, and if you have both of those guys on the field together, you know, that is going to be dangerous on defense for the Colts. And secondly, his thoughts on the quarterback position, you know, that they moved on too early from Carson Wentz, and what the feeling is like in Indianapolis. We've been able to look from an outside perspective of, wow, they've just had a different quarterback every single year. But looking at this draft class, it is a quarterback-heavy draft class. And, I mean, if I'm Jim Irsay, if I'm Chris Ballard, if I'm Frank Reich, listen, you keep Matt Ryan for next year. He signed under contract, but you draft somebody and you actually try to, you know, turn that page and start developing a young guy, considering they haven't been able to figure it out for the last five seasons. Junie?
And I think the one thing that he said, you know, I brought up Matt Ryan and the fact that he only has three touchdowns compared to four interceptions. He's had seven fumbles, too. I think that's something to look out for, especially with the edge rushers of the Titans with Weaver and Bud Dupree. I think they're going to have to get there and take advantage of that if they're going to want to capitalize against this Colts offense.
Well, are you guys ready to make some picks and make some money?
Oh, always. Yeah.
Okay, let's start with the game we're talking about in the NFL. The Tennessee Titans head up to Indianapolis. First divisional matchup for the Tennessee Titans. And right now on Superbook Sportsbook, one of our presenting sponsors of the Michelle Knezevic Show, the Indianapolis Colts are favored by 4 points, guys. Personally, for me, I think this is an easy one. I'm hammering the Tennessee Titans plus the four. Listen, at the end of the day, I think you can look at the skill positions, the different guys. You can look at the O-line, the D-line, all of that. But at the end of the day, I think the Tennessee Titans have a better quarterback and they have a better coach. And Mike Vrabel is looking to get his fourth straight win in Indianapolis. I do think that there is a chance that Indy could pull out, especially with home field advantage and a couple significant guys out for the Tennessee Titans. But I think you hammer the four. I think this game is separated by about 3 points.
I could definitely see that happening, but I'm going with the Colts on the points here. I just think that the fact that the Titans can't stop the run and the Colts can is going to be the difference in this game. They're playing at home. This crowd is going to be electric. Jim Irsay, although Dave said that there is no pressure on Ballard and Reich, I think there is. I think they need to get this win. They've been talking about beating Tennessee all offseason. I think they go out and do it, and I think they cover the spread. So give me the -4 for the Colts.
Jared?
I'll take the Titans and the points. I think that the Titans know what's at stake here. I think that they need to get this win to put a stranglehold on the AFC South. You have the Colts coming up again after you play the Commanders in a bye week. I think that's plenty of opportunity. If you win this weekend, you can put yourself in a position to be in first place in the division.
And the AFC South is quite a confusing division right now with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Couple big wins for them, and let's stick with that. Let's stick with the Jacksonville Jaguars. They are going to the Philadelphia Eagles. Listen, you got A.J. Brown on the team. Jacksonville Jaguars are underdogs by 6.5. I'm going to take the Jags plus the 6.5. I like what I've seen from this team. I think that the Eagles will ultimately come out with the win, but I think this game is going to be separated by about 3 points. Junie?
I'm taking the Jags on the points as well. I just think that this defense is really, really good. I think their edge rushers are going to contain Jalen Hurts. You know, the Eagles could still pull out a win, but I think it's going to be inside of a touchdown game. So give me the Jags on the points. I think they cover.
I will take the team from the city of brotherly love. I will take the Eagles. I just think that the Eagles are playing some good football right now. Jalen Hurts is looking pretty good. I just think that it continues. And although the Jags are looking good, I just think that maybe some traveling could be the issue here.
And the Philadelphia Eagles are the last undefeated team in the NFL. It was the Dolphins, then they fell to the Cincinnati Bengals this Thursday. But, guys, let's get into some college football, some games coming up this afternoon right after this show. You've got Southeastern Carolina's coming up with Caroline Fenton off week. Once we get off the air in about 2 minutes, we're going to give you a couple SEC picks right now. And if you know me, if you listen to this show, you know what game I'm going to right now. Kentucky, Ole Miss in Oxford. Oxford coming up at 11 a.m. Kentucky, I can't even speak. I'm so excited about this game, guys. Kentucky is a 6.5-point dog. Hammer me, lock it down on Kentucky plus the 6.5. I think they win outright. They've got their star running back, Chris Rodriguez, coming back. I don't care that they're in Oxford. Give me the Cats. And if you want to say it's a homer pick, I don't care because they're going to win. I hope.
I can verify that that's not a homer pick because I despise the University of
Kentucky. Oh, yes, you do.
And I am taking them on the points as well. Listen, I think Kentucky is an overall better team than Ole Miss. I think Ole Miss is a little bit overranked. Whether or not they pull out the win, it's always hard to get a win on the road in the SEC. But Kentucky is a better team. I think they're better coached than the Lane Kiffin-led Rebels. So give me the Cats on the line.
Jared, quickly.
Man, I will take the Rebs.
Ooh!
Yeah, no, the points. Yeah, I mean, this is the SEC, guys. Like, every battle is close. Like, it's hard to take that amount of points and feel comfortable with it when it's an SEC team on the other side of the ball.
A Tennessee fan picking the Lane Kiffin Rebels.
Yeah, I just try not to think that he's the coach. It just helps a little bit more, but it's whatever.
There's no winner for Tennessee fans when it's Lane Kiffin against the University of Kentucky.
there you go. Happy Saturday, Nashville. Thank you for joining us from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. We will be back here every Saturday. And next, we are handing off the baton to Caroline Fenton, live from 312 Pizza for Southeastern Carolines. You're listening to the Michelle Knezevic Show on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.